Good morning, and you're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley. And if you want to get text and WhatsApp in, do so straight away to our number 086 383 553. You can phone Siobhan on reception on 091 77 0077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. Now, though, there's been a welcome announcement of funding from Europe for the Western Rail Corridor. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line by Independent Deputy Sean Kenny. Sean, welcome news with this approval of 10T funding.
Absolutely. And first of all, to explain what 10T funding means, it's the Trans-European Network Transport funding. And effectively, what happens is that Ireland, as a member of the EU, make an application to include certain projects on this programme so that they can apply for some funding towards the cost of building it. So effectively, about a month ago, the Cabinet agreed to make the application for this to become, for the Western Rail Corridor and Galway-Port to be added to the 10T programme. And last week, the European Union agreed, and now both projects are part of the 10T programme, which means that, first of all, it's an indication that government and Ireland want to proceed with these works and have given a commitment that they will carry out the projects, and that's why they've been put onto this programme. And secondly, it means that Europe has accepted that these projects are part of the overall connectivity between Ireland and the European Union, and therefore they will be able to support the project as well. And I think for the Western Rail Corridor, it is an additional, vote of confidence in the project. It follows on from the All-Ireland Rail Review, which was agreed between the ministers in the North and in the South at their council meeting 2 weeks ago. They approved the All-Ireland Rail Review, and that in its entirety will be published in the coming weeks. So therefore, it is set up within the All-Ireland Rail Review that certain projects are viable and have a business case, including the Western Rail Corridor. And I think that is another fundamental position to be in order to get the project moving ahead quickly.
Okay.
And I think it's very good news for not alone for Athenry, Tuam and Claremorris, but for the entire Western region. And it will also be of huge benefit to all the global companies across that region who want to use rail freight to reduce their carbon emissions on their product. And this is a goal of every global country now, is that as they are producing product, that product is carbon neutral.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things with it is the transporting of this. And if it's done on truck, there is a carbon emission tag on it, whereas if it's done on rail freight, it is reduced considerably. And nowadays, you see that companies, this is high on their agenda. And when you take the likes of Baxter and Castlebar, have in the last couple of months agreed and have signed up with Irish Rail to deliver their product and their raw materials coming in by rail freight, it is a strong indication that demand is increasing. And that's why rail is a very important component, not alone in the West of Ireland, but all around Ireland, to make sure that we can actually try and meet our carbon emissions. So that's part of the transport. But for the region, for Mayo, for Galway, for Clare, for Roscommon, it is very, very important that we now, if we get the Western Rail Corridor built, we will have a rail link all the way to Limerick and out to Fines Port. We will have a continuous link down to Corkport, and we'll have a continuous link over to Waterford. So we actually will be creating that rail connectivity, which has been absent. And I would also like to welcome the decision by Sligo County Council to decide that they are going to preserve the line from Claremorris to Colooney for rail purposes into the future. And I think that is a very wise move, because we can see what has happened between Athenry and Claremorris and how the game has changed along that line. And hopefully that will happen, and we will be able to connect Sligo and the business in Sligo to the line coming down the west.
That's probably a good bit off into the future, though. In terms of the T10 funding, it provides 20% of the capital cost for the project. So you must be thanking your colleagues that are in government that they're actually one, going for this funding, and two, looks like they're going to proceed with this?
Oh, absolutely. And first of all, I would say that back in the last government, I know that when the 10T issue was there, that Shane Ross, who was Minister for the Transport at the time, made the first formal corresponding application to the EU. But a lot of things had to be done in the meantime. And I can see now that this government are following through on it. There is huge political support for this project right across the region. We did a letter, a number of us, to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and the Minister for Transport approximately 3 years ago, and we had over 110 senators and TDs had signed that letter of support, which shows the phenomenal support there is politically for this project. And I think all parties and none agree that this is the right thing to do for the region, for economic development in the region, and that's why it is being done. So there is political support for it. The new Taoiseach has committed that he is totally committed to this project. Micheál Martin has committed that he's totally committed to it. And definitely, Eamon Ryan, the Minister for Transport, is driving this, and he has already opened up the line between Limerick and Fines, which is the catalyst for the west of Ireland to be able to export throughout Fines. And also, with the development in Galway Port, we also have a port right in the heart of the west, which again can be a potentially a great economic driver for the area as well.
I think it's nice that you're actually applauding Minister for Transport Eamon Ryan in this regard, because there's been a lot of political football between a lot of even government backbenchers and government senators and otherwise to the Green Party as of late. I don't know if you've been following that political football.
Well, and that's what they are. They're political footballs. I'm more about working with people to get works done and to make sure that we are delivering. And when you look at what's happening at the moment in terms of the health camps that we have now in June, I would give a lot of credit to Simon Harris on that when he was Minister for Health, when he provided the funding for it. The X-ray facilities are in June. Again, Simon Harris provided funding for that. And I worked with all people in government to make sure that the west of Ireland is the number one priority. And it's not a football or a political football, in my estimation. What I'm there to do is to try and work with all people. And that's why I think that this has got a huge political support right across every political party, be it Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, People Before Profit, Social Democrats, into everybody is totally in support of this. So that's why I think it's important that with that goodwill is snatched upon to make sure we don't let it fall by the wayside, because the west of Ireland needs investment. We need a lot of investment in hospital services in Galway, and we need not be making political footballs out of anybody or any individual. We need to make sure we work with them if they're in power to get as much for the region as possible.
Do you think this government is going to last until after the locals and the Europeans? Because there has been a bit of fractures this week in particular. I'm speaking in relation to the comments between Senator Lisa Chambers and Senator Pauline O'Reilly. What have you made of that?
Well, I suppose you asked me the question, will this government last? I think that's up to this government. I do believe, you know, we're in election mode with European elections, so people will be saying things now about one another which might give you a feeling that they don't agree with everything that they're doing. I do believe that, you know, that's election, people in election mode. But I think more seriously, we have issues like housing. In Galway here, we have the issue around the outer bypass, which is freezing out Galway and is not letting it develop the way it should.
Okay.
So we have lots of challenges, and I think what my ambition would be is we would see more of these projects progressing so that we do end up with the necessary infrastructure we need to allow the west of Ireland. And anything that happens in Galway City is good for Castlebar, it's good for Innes, it's good for Limerick. So we need to work together to make sure we achieve these things. And of course, when you have an election, you will have different people trying to gain the moral high ground. I do believe that the immigration issue is a big issue politically, and it's something that the government need to address quite quickly and in a unified manner. And I think that that would be my biggest concern.
Yeah.
And of course, at the end of the day, one of the biggest problems coming to my constituency office is housing.
Yeah.
In for people, and not so much. There are people looking for social housing, but there's a lot of people who are working who cannot buy a house, and they're willing to take out a mortgage because they can't afford the mortgage or the price the house is at. And I think the affordable housing scheme needs to be restructured to give people more benefits.
Yeah. Independent Deputy Sean Kenny, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. From that issue, though, I come into studio because I'm joined in studio by Garagine Hines of Gaillie of Ligeia. Garagine, Majin Wa, agus Kehi Wilto.
Majin Wa, John Tomagama, agus Gurmila Mahagatas, of the Curravela, the Nurv.
Gurmila, it's an exciting gearlist you have there. Just talk us through who's been shortlisted for the Gradam Hiosafa Hogarthy.
Yes, well, we have 16 businesses and organisations from a wide range of sectors in Galway City who have been announced as the finalists for Gradam Hiosafa Hogarthy 2024. So if I could read them out to you. In the retail experience category, sponsored by Galway Bay FM, Gurmila Magav, we have Just Arted and St. Vincent de Paul Shop in Westside. In the tourism category, sponsored by Fáilte Ireland, on the GAR list, that we have Tharog Wine Bar, Lally Tours, the Hardyman Hotel, and Tribe Gin School. In the customer service category, sponsored by Computer Troubleshooters Galway, we have Murphy and Me and Taylor's Bar and Beer Garden. In the digital category, sponsored by Platform 94, we have Fluffberg, Irish Society, and Wild Atlantic Wicks. And finally, in the community and culture category, sponsored by Achtav na Hullscoileach na Gaeilge, Ullscoil na Gaeilge, we have Fachtas Rohiach na Gaeilge, Galway Art Academy, Galway Trails, Paulos Cinema, and Ushbish na Gaeilge, our local hospice here.
The Gradam is a great incentive for businesses to get involved in the Irish language and to Jane Eirocht on Changa a Úsáid.
Sinné go díreach, agus is bealach é chun con celora ienef ar an ober íntach a hangach a tá a ienef ag gnolachtí agus agriachtí a tá lonia ag gahar na gailive. Tá an gradam anamnihe in anuar bál bunihe agus rúni chodachta gailive le gailge sosa vó hogartí agus tá se ar an vóldan isle fia dó blian.
It's a huge history and a huge, I suppose, legacy with the Gradam. And for the businesses involved, I was at it actually myself last year, you have a diverse range of people involved. It's not just Irish people in these businesses who are using the Irish language.
No, we have people from all over the world who have gotten involved in the Gradam and who have made their homes here in Galway and have found that the Irish language works for them and works for their business. And it's really wonderful to see. And it's wonderful to see how people from different businesses work together and have synergies through different and have created different projects that have evolved from the Gradam and different friendships. For example, Joanna in Irish Society just over the road, she has created a product called Skill, or a story called Skill to Grow, where she visits businesses that are using the language similar to herself. She has them on her stocky. Wild Atlantic Wicks, they're using it on their candles. Just Arted have it on their art all around their beautiful shop on Dominic Street.
Mm. And in terms of your judges, I know that you have a very special judge, as in he was the first winner of the Gradam.
We have indeed. We would like to say Gurmila Magath to Doc here from Galway, who was on Galway Bay FM. He was the first winner of the Gradam back in 2002 with the Warwick Hotel. We also have Aylwer Ní Ógairtí, who's a daughter of Joseph, whom the award is named after, and they take a great sense of pride of being one of the Muldhóirí from the award. We also have Margaret Jenkins, Wild Atlantic Way manager with Fáilte Ireland, Caroline Ní Láthairte, Oifigeach na Gaeilge from Ullscoil na Gaeilge. So Gurmila Mahagov Agub Galair.
And I know it's very busy in terms of adjudicating all the different businesses and doing the promo stuff. I know you have Grace out of the camera going all around the place at the moment. There's a lot of work going into this ahead of the actual awards themselves.
There is indeed. So Grace is shooting a short video of each business that is on the GAR list, that, and they will be up on our YouTube channel in a week or so. So Cúni Súla Machlahai Shin. And then next week, the Muldhóirí will go out and they will visit the premises of each business that is shortlisted. And they will have a look and see how they, where they see the Gaeilge, how they will speak to the owners and the managers and see what their plans are, how the Gaeilge has worked for them, what are the advantages of it. And they will choose a winner in each category. And from the five category winners, they will choose an overall winner of the Gratham Hoosapie Hogarthy, who will be known as the new Tribe of Galway for the year ahead. Last year, we had St. Nicholas's Collegiate Church, who were very proud winners. So, Béile Fech, Alcaeves Onim Liana.
Ianta Carfad, August, the minister will be down to announce the winners on the night on Monday, the 27th of May at 6 o'clock in the Hardiman.
That's correct. And we're delighted that the new minister for the Gaeltacht, Thomas Byrne, TD, will be joining us to make this announcement. We're expecting a great crowd. And we will have a new winner of the Gratham.
Yeah. You do great work in Galway Gaeilge. If people want to get more details on the Gratham and the work you do, where's the best place, Garajean?
You can visit our website, gleg.ie. You can also follow us on our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, X, I'm not used to saying that, and LinkedIn, and YouTube coming soon.
Ianta Carfad. Well, Garamila Mahagut, Garajean Hines of Galway Gaeilge, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. Coming up next, we're looking at the elections, but we're looking at the elections with on Commission Talcon. So if you have any questions about the local and European elections, do get them into us straight away. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Good morning, you're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley, and if you want to get a comment into us on our text and WhatsApp line, you can do straight away to the programme, and we'll read them out for you during the course. I see a lot of people have actually texted in about the tickets for the Connacht final, which is great to see. A lot of interest in Galway against Mayo. Some of the comments coming into us this morning: Ragworth is poisonous and illegal, yet everywhere in the city and county we see it growing and spreading, no more than the ash problem, not dealt with in a timely manner. And another listener says, what about trees growing on the roadside outside the farmers' boundaries? Are they responsible or are the council? So they are some of the texts coming into us this morning in relation to that. Now we'll be going to Miss Justice Marie Baker from the Electoral Commission very shortly, and I believe she's actually joining me on the line at the moment. Miss Justice Marie Baker, good morning, and we're talking all about the elections and the work you do in on Commission Tiacon. Tell us, what's the big advice to people ahead of the local and European elections?
Oh, the big advice today is to register to vote. You have until the 20th of May, so that's quite a lot of time. The way to do it, really, the easiest way is to check the register.ie, and there's an online form, but you can print out the form and bring it to your local Garda station or your local authority, but there's plenty of time to register. And the other message here really is to remind people who live here who are not Irish citizens that they have a vote in some of these elections. European citizens who live here have a vote in the European election. And people who are not a European citizen or an Irish citizen, if they're normally resident in Ireland, may vote in these local elections in their local area. And they may register to vote and should register to vote.
Because traditionally, turnout for these types of elections, the local and the Europeans, they have been quite low. What's the message for me in terms of raising that awareness and getting people out to vote should they wish to do so?
Well, our message, you heard this the last time as well, is your voice is your voice. Your vote is your voice. If you don't vote, somebody else is going to make your decisions for you. And these are local elections. They elect the councillors who decide on all of the local issues. And everybody who lives in a local authority area should be aware of that and should be aware that this is their chance to vote the people that they want to make those decisions. It's democracy in action. At the low scale of the local.
And in terms of the work ye do with the elections coming up, what will be the big jobs for you in the coming weeks in terms of the local and European elections?
Our main job really is to protect the process for these elections, where we don't have a content role, as it were, the way we had for the referendums. So our first role is to encourage people to register, then it'll be to encourage people to vote. And this is complex, so it will be to reach out to different communities to remind them that they're entitled to register and to remind them that they should vote and they're entitled to vote. Yesterday we had a meeting with 45 ambassadors, and we explained to them that their citizens living in Ireland are entitled to vote and how they can vote and how they can register and the processes that are engaged. We will explain in the course of our campaign, we'll explain what local government government does. And we have the very exciting event of a mayoral election in Limerick, and we'll explain to the people of Limerick City and County what a directly elected mayor can do. This will be the first time we've had an election for a directly elected mayor.
And in terms of your oversight role, what are the main things you'll be looking to make sure is followed in full compliance during these elections?
We will be anxious to ensure that people know where how to vote. So, you know, the PR is complex, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. And one of the errors that has happened, and this has been noted, is that when there are a few ballot papers, and there'll be 2 ballot papers, one for the locals and one for the Europeans, and in Limerick, 3 ballot papers, it's important that each voter realises that each of those votes is a separate vote. So you go down one page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, to whatever, and then you take the next ballot paper and you start at 1. Because interestingly enough, an error that has been spotted over and over again is somebody going down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 12, say, on the local elections, and then going to the Europeans and starting at 13.
Okay.
And in fact, there was a whole case about this a few years ago where the High Court said, no, that 13 wasn't a valid number one.
Okay. And in terms of the PR system, because it is part of our democracy here in Ireland, just to explain to people in simple terms how they do their vote. Obviously, your number one goes to 1 and 2, 3, 4, etc. But that'll come into other counts. So we go with the first round,
yes,
and it goes
does.
To other counts.
In a sense, what happens is you vote down in your order of preference, but people are eliminated from the bottom up. So every vote you cast is capable of passing up the line to the person above you. So you vote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and your number six has been eliminated because that person, male or female, can't reach the quota and is definitely not going to win. That person might have votes cast for anybody across the spectrum, and those votes then get passed up through the system. So actually what it does is it's the exact opposite of first past the post. Yes, the number one is first past the post, but after that, it's very egalitarian, as it were. It spreads your vote. It allows you to say, well, look, I really want that person, but given that there'll be 2 seats or 3 seats or 4 seats, I'd like that person to have a vote, and that person and that person, and it works that way. So it's actually, it's a very interesting system for spreading out your vote and your preferences. And of course, it's great fun to watch when it's been counted.
And there's often changes to boundaries. So for people to know where they're voting as well is a big part of this. In terms of, I know that there was 2 counties added to the Midlands Northwest in the European context, but also the local LEAs can change as well.
They can and they do. And again, you if you register to vote, you will get your polling card and it will tell you where you vote. But you know, the people who are going to be the candidates for councillors are going to be out on the streets and doing advertisements and putting up posters. So you'll know very well in the matter of a week or two. It's still, I think, 38 days today. So people will know that their area. They can check it online, obviously, on the local authority websites, which are very well maintained, actually. But they will get their polling card and it'll say you vote in, you know, that school or whatever. Mm. And this is your constituency,
yeah.
You know, Cork City or whatever it is.
You mentioned that Limerick will have 3 different papers in terms of the mayoral
will.
As well. But there was originally meant to be a referendum on this day as well. Was that a good move from government to stop confusion for people in having 4 different or 3 different?
I couldn't say whether it's a good or a bad move. It is the move that was made. What was proposed was there would be the unified patent referendum, which I would now be explaining to you, which government said there were simply too many electoral events on the day. That was a government choice. We've no say in that. We simply get told this is the day, these are the elections, now go persuade people to participate in this democratic action.
Okay, it's all very interesting and you'll be very busy
very
for the next one.
Yes.
Great to see our democratic process in action as well. So the big message there for people to check the register and to exercise their democratic right.
And keep an eye on the advertisements because they have choices to make.
Yeah. And will you actually be sending out leaflets to people's houses and doing different advertisements on TV as well?
No. Well, we will be doing advertisements on TVs. We've already started a very good series of ads, which is basically saying to people, treat every day as April the 1st. So, and I'm sure you've heard the one about the little baby that's born, and people say, and, you know, somebody pokes along and say, oh, the baby's name should be this. And the mother is saying, hold on a minute here. I want to choose the baby's name. So make your own choice. That's our message. Make your choice, cast your vote, let's hear your voice, don't let someone else do it for you, and be cynical and sceptical and quizzical and analytical about the information that you get.
electoralcommission.ie for more information on that. Miss Justice Marie Baker, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you.
What are your thoughts on that? Get them into us straight away on 086-3833-553. You can phone Siobhan on reception on 091-77-0077. And you can also email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. One listener says, only make sure you vote for who you want to represent you. You don't have to number all candidates, just who you want. So that's one of the comments coming in relation to that chat with Miss Justice Mary Baker. Now, though, I want to go to Galway Gardaí because we have Garda Hugh Rogers on for the Garda Report. Garda Hugh, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for joining us. We're starting with a burglary in Salt Hill.
That's correct. Salt Hill Gardaí are investigating a burglary incident which occurred on Friday, the 26th of April, between 12:30 p.m. and 1:30 p.m. in the Clunkanore Estate in Knocknacarra, Salt Hill. Gardaí at Salt Hill Garda Station are looking to speak to anyone who may have been in the area around that time of the break-in and who may have witnessed any suspicious activity to contact Gardaí at Salt Hill Garda Station on 091 514 720 or the Garda Confidential Line on 1800 666 111.
There was also a burglary in Annadown.
That's correct, John. Armagh Gardaí are investigating a burglary incident which occurred on Thursday the 25th of April between 6:30 p.m. and 6:45 p.m. at Shankill, Annadown. Gardaí at Armagh Garda Station are looking to speak to anyone who may have been in the area around the time of this break-in and who may have witnessed any suspicious activity to contact Gardaí at Armagh Garda Station on 091 388 038 or again the Garda Confidential Line on 1-800-666-111.
Now there's also a burglary in Roy Dunmore.
That's correct, John. Gardaí and Tuam are investigating a burglary that occurred at Roy Dunmore on Thursday the 25th of April at 5:39 p.m. where the owner returned and interrupted intruders that were in the property. Witnesses reported two males with balaclavas wearing dark clothing leaving the area in what is believed to be a black Audi coupe type car, and they headed in the direction of Tuam. Gardaí and Tuam are looking to speak to anyone who may have been in the area around that time of the break-in and who witnessed any suspicious activity, or indeed anyone who may have dash cam footage, to contact Gardaí at Tuam Garda Station on 093 708 40 or again the Garda Confidential Line on 1-800-666-111.
We're coming back to the city now and an incident of criminal damage.
That's correct, John. Gardaí in Galway are investigating a criminal damage incident that occurred at Munir Morrow in the city here between 9 p.m. on Wednesday the 24th of April and 3:37 a.m. on Thursday the 25th of April, where a car that had been parked outside a residence had been egged, causing extensive damage to the vehicle. Anyone who may have been in the area around this time and witnessed any suspicious activity are asked to contact Galway Garda Station on 091 538 000 or again the Garda Confidential Line on 1-800-666-111.
Right, there's also a criminal damage incident on Presentation Road.
It's Piggott Street in Loughrea, sorry. Gardaí in Loughrea are investigating a criminal damage incident that occurred between 11:30 p.m. and 11:59 p.m. on Saturday the 27th of April at Piggott Street in Loughrea, where the owner of a car came out to discover that the front windscreen of their vehicle had been smashed. Gardaí in Loughrea Garda Station are looking to speak to anyone who may have been in the area around this time and who may have witnessed any suspicious activity to contact Loughrea Garda Station on 091 841-841-221-222 or again the Garda Confidential line on 1-800-666-111.
Now it's all excitement heading towards Pearse Stadium this Sunday, Garda Hugh.
That's correct, John. We just have some general advice in relation to people attending the Connacht final this Sunday coming. Galway Gardaí would like to remind motorists that the Connacht football final is scheduled for Pearse Stadium, Salthill, this coming Sunday, the 5th of May, with a throw-in time of 4 p.m. There will be traffic restrictions in place close to the stadium and on the access roads in the area. Gardaí would like to remind those going to the match, and indeed all motorists, to park legally, not obstruct footpaths or the free flow of other motorists, and not to obstruct the driveways of local residents. There will be a Garda traffic management plan in place from early morning, and motorists are urged to get there early and be prepared to walk, as parking in the Salthill area is limited. Gates at Pearse Stadium will open at 2:30 p.m. and there will be a cordon in place around Pearse Stadium, and vehicles will not be allowed to access the inner cordon except for permit holders and local residents. John, the crowd is estimated to be in the region of 20,000, so Gardaí advise that patrons get there as early as possible, enjoy the day to allow good time to park up and get to the stadium. And just one final bit of advice for road users. The bus lanes on Seamus Quirk Road and Bishop O'Donnell Road will be open in both directions before and after the match in order to try and alleviate any traffic congestion and to help with the flow of traffic. So just if motorists could bear that in mind, that when leaving and going to the match, bus lanes before the match and after the match will be open, so for motorists to use both lanes going to the match and coming from the match on Bishop O'Donnell Road and Seamus Quirk Road.
Brilliant. Garda Hugh Rogers, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks, the Garda Slot.
Thanks, Joe.
And yeah, it's going to be all roads leading to Pearse Stadium, and for legal reasons I can't say who I'll be supporting on that day. Still to come on the programme today, we'll be looking at ear and eye health next with the crew from Specsavers. We have an audiology partner and also an ophthalmic director at Specsavers, opticians and audiologists joining us to discuss all that and much more. So if you have any questions in terms of ear and eye health, do get them into us straight away on our number 086 38 33 553. And also we'll be talking a little later on in the programme about trending topics. We have Helen Mannion of Evergreen joining us and some live music. Joachim Cooder joins us in studio because he has 10 Irish tour dates between the end of this month and in May as well. So he's going to be performing in Headford this evening, actually, in Campbell's Tavern. So if you do want to get involved there and go to that, he'll be there. And he's actually, he was in Westport last night, so he's really getting around the country. So Joachim Cooder will be joining us a little later on for some live music. So all that plus lots more coming up on Galway Talks this morning. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road, a new way to car shop.
Good morning, you're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley, and we're looking at eye and ear health now because I'm joined in studio by Anita McLaughlin, an ophthalmic director at Specsavers Opticians and Audiologist in Knocknacarra and Air Square Galway, and also on the line by Hetty Fajora, an audiology partner at the same premises. You're both very welcome onto the programme today. And Anita, I might start with you first. Good morning, and talk to us about eye health and in terms of keeping your eyes healthy.
Morning, John. Thank you for having us here today. So in terms of eye health, there are lots of aspects that are really important for your eye health. People ask me this every day. I'm in the test room seeing people day to day, and they normally ask me what can they do to try and keep their own eyes healthy. My first thing that I kind of talk to them is about smoking. So smoking is really strongly linked with a condition called macular degeneration, and that's the leading cause of blindness in Ireland. Macular degeneration is unfortunately really common in the white population, and especially in females. So we tend to see that quite a bit on a day-to-day basis, and smoking is the biggest modifiable risk factor for macular degeneration. So smoking is a big one. I know it's not difficult, it's not easy to give up smoking if you do smoke, but there's a big link between eye health and smoking that's very clear. Other things, problems like dry eyes, eating lots of healthy oils in your diet, like fats from fish, from avocados, from nuts and seeds. Drinking lots of water is really good for the health of the eyes. And then depending if you have specific eye conditions, there are different nutritional kind of advice that we give for that.
Mm. In terms of some of the other conditions that affect people, I know glaucoma and particularly as people age, eye health can become a problem. How often would you recommend people checking in their eyes if they have any concerns?
So as a standard kind of recommendation, we'd recommend a 2-year recall. That's what you would be put on if you aren't at significant risk of any particular conditions or if your eyes are looking very healthy. We have OCT technology in store where we do advanced eye health screenings, and that can kind of help us know that you're very unlikely to pick up conditions like glaucoma or macular degeneration in the immediate future. So 2 years would be standard. Then if you were under 16s or if you had a family history of glaucoma or any early signs of eye disease, we might bring that down to 1 year.
Mm. And even simple everyday things can cause a problem to eye health as well. I know like say hay fever, and that can cause a big problem.
Yeah, hay fever is a big one that's coming into us. And I think there's a lot of people presenting even over the last few weeks with hay fever. We have hay fever affecting the general population, but then specifically with our contact lens wearers as well. So there are different drops that you can use in order to kind of decrease the effect that the pollens are having on your eyes. Also things like wearing sunglasses that have a wrap around can try and protect the pollen from getting into the eyes. And for contact lens wearers, it's really good to make sure that you're having regular health checks in terms of your contacts, because if your contact lenses, for example, are a little bit too stiff, they can rub against your inner eyelids and then cause the symptoms of itchiness that kind of are commonly associated with hay fever to increase. So seeing your optom regularly if you're having problems with hay fever is a really good idea.
I know eye strain is a big problem as well, and I have about 4 screens in front of me at the moment here.
Yeah, that is. And nowadays people just use screens. I think it's just part of everyday life. We're having children. I had a little guy in yesterday. He was 8 years old, using 6 hours odd of screens between schools and after school and television. And I think that is part of how the world is going. So it's not realistic to tell people not to use screens, especially for children in education. It's part of life now. But the thing we can probably recommend is to take regular breaks. So not necessarily heading off for a cup of coffee every 20 minutes, but every 20 minutes, if you try to look into the distance about 6 foot or 6 meters away, 20 foot for about 20 seconds. So look at a clock on the wall or look out the window is really good for just relaxing down the muscles in the eyes and to try and prevent really severe symptoms of eye strain. But if anyone is having eye strain, we would definitely encourage them to come in to have their eyes checked.
Okay, we're also joined on the line by your audiology partner, Hetty Fajorva. And apologies of how I pronounced your name, Hetty, but you look at all the hearing side of things. And I know hearing loss is extremely common. It affects around, 1 in 12 Irish people?
You're right there, John. Yeah. Hello, guys. I'm Hetty here. And again, thanks for having us. It seemed to be, lately it just seemed to be a lot more common than it used to be. And I believe it's down to people actually admitting that the problem is there as such, and it's good to see in the past 10 years there seem to be a lot more people that would actually come in for a hearing test because the family has noted some things aren't as good as they used to be, which is great to see.
Yeah. And what are the main problems you're finding? Is it earwax kind of something that might be a less serious form, or are people with actual hear loss? Like, what's the difference there?
There is a bit of everything. So the most common would be kind of noise damage to the hearing. If a person has been exposed to a lot of noise working with machinery throughout ears, wax build up in ears, I wouldn't necessarily state it as a big issue because we offer a service of microsuction as such on in between our 3 stores and within Galway City. But the most common one would be noise damage or health issues within the ear growing up, perforated eardrums, or being exposed to would say hereditary family issues as such. Okay. That kind of passes on from gene to gene.
But there's great devices out there now to help people boost their hearing capacity, even if they have a bit of loss.
Absolutely. There is different types and different shapes and forms for every need, and I would say for every age.
And a lot of them, the technology, it's very advanced now in terms of Bluetooth connectivity and all that kind of thing. So you can stream it to your different phones and different devices as well.
It does. Yeah, it does. And it has changed for the past 3 years. You can have your hearing aids rechargeable now. You can have them streaming your phone calls. If your family lives abroad, a lot of people do find that beneficial, where they used to have a problem of hearing, family member living in Australia, and there seemed to be a lot of strain to the relationship, not being able to hear. That is no longer an issue. Mm. And you could also travel in on the plane if you like to watch your Netflix, or if you like to listen to your music, that's also there for you.
Yeah, and I know that hearing loss, it can happen gradually over time, so people might necessarily notice it straight away. And maybe it's, in the fact, family members who pointed out to them when they're not hearing them. What's the message to people if they are sort of conscious, or maybe their family members are conscious that they might be losing hearing?
Well, I believe it's communication. It's to talk to them. If the family member notices something that the person themselves affected by hearing loss, as you mentioned yourself, John, they're a gradual thing. It's not like it happens sudden, and they might have not noticed themselves that it's been there for a long time. Encourage them, tell them to come in, get to sit down, talk to an audiologist, and get the hearing checked, get the general health of the ears checked as well. And it's not something that you have to commit immediately if the hearing loss is there. It's a conversation to be had in the first place.
Mm. And I know you actually provide 3-minute hearing screenings with no need to book an appointment, so people can actually just walk in and get this checked very quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a screen and it'll give you a better idea then. And one of our team members could talk you through the results. And if there is a further follow-up needed, we will look after that as well ourselves.
Mm. Some of the stats on it are quite incredible, though, because I know that more than 300,000 people suffer with hearing loss in Ireland. But it's a huge number. But do all those people actually get the treatment they need, I wonder?
Yeah, that's the question I'd have too. Well, we would encourage them to look after your hearing as you would look after your general health and also health of your eyes. But the numbers of the people actually to look after the hearing have increased in the past few years. So it's good to see that improving.
Brilliant. Thank you for joining us, Hetty, on the line. And back to studio to you, Anita. It's great to see that there is great help out there for people who are suffering, whether that be with the hearing loss or yourself in terms of the eyes as well. And the services are there if people want to get checked very quickly. And to nip it in the bud is very important.
Oh, 100%. So we have, Hetty and myself, predominantly work across the Air Square branch and the Knocknacarra branch, which is just a new branch that opened at the end of March. So we're finding we're seeing a huge population of people coming in from Barna, Spittle, Moycullen, and even from the east side of the city, who want to come over and want to kind of avoid the traffic and be in that quieter location, specifically in Knocknacarra. So it's a state-of-the-art store with all the best advanced technology that Specsavers has to offer. We have loads of space. We have blue badge parking right outside our door. There's 700 free car parking spaces in the Gateway Retail Park itself. So we're just really accessible. We're there for customers 7 days a week. Lots of people book coming in to ask questions. So it's not necessarily that everyone who comes through the door books an appointment to have their eyes tested or get glasses, but we're there just to answer your queries, give recommendations, and then to help in any way really that we can.
Brilliant. Well, Anita McLongley, Ophthalmic Director at Specsavers Opticians and Audiologists, Knocknacarra and Air Square, and also to Hetty Fedorva, Audiology Director. Thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. Still to come on the programme today, we're looking at trending topics, and Joshua Byrne joins us. There's a UK ban on easy passwords. We're also looking at the ESL1 report. It's very interesting, those two topics. We also have Helen Mannion of Evergreen onto us, looking at a range of issues, and some live music with Joachim Kuder. So all that and many more topics to be covered on the programme today. If you want to get involved today, do get your text and WhatsApp into us straight away, and to some of them right away. In terms of our discussion on the elections, that is the most ridiculous ad on radio for voting. That's in terms of the baby ad and the mother wanting to name her baby. So that's what this listener says. And another man says to us this morning that remind people going to the match on Sunday that the Claddagh Quay is closed, so no point in coming in that way going home. So that's just a little reminder from one of our listeners if you are going to the Connacht final on Sunday. Let us know what you think the scoreline will be, by the way, in the Mayo Galway Connacht final. It'll be interesting to see what the mood of the Galway public is on that. So you can do so straight away to 086 38 33 553. We'll be announcing the winner of the pair of terrace tickets on the programme very shortly, so keep listening in to hear if you have won a pair of tickets. And we'll also be giving a pair of terrace tickets tomorrow morning on the programme. Then on Thursday we're giving away a pair of tickets for the stand in Pearse Stadium. So we're giving away these 3 days, today, tomorrow and Thursday. So do be listening in if you want to win a pair of tickets to go see the Galway and Mayo match. Of course, winning the Connacht final will be very important because the teams, of course, they're all seeded going into the round robin of the championship. So a one seed for the winner, second seed for the provincial loser. And then the other teams are already seeded in 3 and 4 as well. And there's some big teams that you'll be looking to avoid. If you can avoid a Dublin and a Kerry in the round robin, it would be very good for your team in terms of getting through and getting through as quickly as you can, because the top team goes straight through to quarterfinals. And then the second and third place teams will be drawn and they'll be playing other teams after the 3 rounds of games. So it's already heating up in the championship and the hunt for Sam Maguire. And I even seen there a few teams in the Telchin Cup. Kildare are not too happy there in the Telchin Cup, but they're going to have to regroup and get ready for the group stages like everyone else. So it's all very, very interesting. And someone's after texting in there, will Galway, Mayo will bait them out the gate. So there's fighting talk from this listener here. If you want to have your say on what you think the final score will be, do get it in straight away. We're back after news and debt notices. We have trending topics with Joshua Byrne and a whole host of other topics. So if you want to be in a chance of contributing to the show, do so straight away on all our contact details. We're back after news. Very good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.